Turn with me this evening to Matthew, Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12. I'll read the first 21 verses. Let's hear God's word. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered into the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He went on from there and entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy, like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all, and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope or trust." So ends our reading this evening of God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Pray God's blessing. Lord, bless this word as we open the scriptures tonight and help us to understand the prophecies of old that are centered in and fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this, praying it would be for our profit. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is something delightful about reading and hearing of the very character and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at someone and we learn to know their character and their expressions through their words and actions, we begin to see that their character is closely knit to also their reputation. And in this chapter in particular in Matthew, it's coming to a central point of Jesus' ministry, and it's a point in which many who were needy were seeking Jesus, and he healed them. And those who were not needy, the Pharisees and scribes, were beginning to feel that Jesus was calling them out from their false religion and hopes. And when we think of Jesus as he walks in the cities and in the villages and over the plains, we see someone whose character begins to come more and more to the light. And I think of his words. Jesus doesn't often speak about his character or about himself, but we read of these words, well known to you as well, "Come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Here, in one instance, Jesus, in a rare occasion, describes himself for us. "I am meek and lowly of heart." In other words, Jesus is saying to weary sinners, to those who have great needs and burdens, "Come to me. Look at me. See in me one who is meek, not one who is going to throw you away, one who is going to cast you away as you feel you might deserve. But I will take your burdens. Learn of me. You will find rest for your soul." And this is the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the servant of Jehovah, prophesied already in the Old Testament. And that's where we want to direct our attention this evening in this chapter we have read together in verse 20, this passage of Isaiah. We read again, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick or flax he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory." And our theme is simply this: a weak believer upheld by the servant of Jehovah. And we're going to see the character of two individuals tonight. First of all, we're going to look at the character he describes of believers, a picture of a weak believer, a bruised reed and a smoldering flax. Then secondly, we want to focus on the character of the servant of Jehovah, what he promises to these weak believers. Matthew quotes this passage from Isaiah after the Pharisees had gone out and taken counsel together of how they might destroy Christ. When Jesus became aware of the murderous intentions of the people around him, in particular the Pharisees, he realized his time had not yet fully come. And so he goes into the byways and he goes through the outer countries. And there we read that when many followed him, he healed them all. And already in those few words, we are given an insight into the character of our Lord, this servant of Jehovah. That's where Matthew is wanting to lead us tonight. He wants us to picture the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one sent of the Father, who has come in the fullness of time to be the servant of the Lord. And he's also become a servant to sinners, to serve them. And so when he meets with those who are broken and are affected by sin and disease, we read, he healed them all. It amazes me, and I hope it amazes you. And children, you can think of this as you read through the Gospels. There is never an occasion where our Lord has someone who in need, whatever it might be, comes to Jesus, and Jesus says to them, not today. Or he would say to them, I can't heal that. That's too great of a problem for me. Not once. Everyone who comes to the Lord has a word of pardon, has a word of healing. And in this case, we are learning that the servant of Jehovah denies himself in this way to serve us, to serve sinners. And it's this thought that Matthew then thinks back into the Old Testament. Oh, this is the fulfillment of this prophecy that was given so many years ago through the mouth of Isaiah. When you read that prophetic word of Isaiah in the New Testament eyes, you begin to realize how that man of God in the Old Testament already had a clear view of the very character and person whom God was sending. Of course, we know that this servant of Jehovah spoken here in verse 18 is none other than the Son of Man, the Son of God himself. And it is said here that it is on this one who God has chosen, he would put his Spirit on him, and he would be sent forth to proclaim the word of God to Jew and to Gentiles. He was baptized of John in Jordan and filled with the Spirit. And then we read, he will not cry aloud, or he will not quarrel, nor will any hear his voice in the street. What is meant? Well, the idea here is Jesus is not going around the streets tooting his own horn, saying, look at me, who I am, the Son of God. Rather, he comes as a humble servant to do the will of his Father and to gather in the lost sheep who are wandering from the fold. And in this way, he is displaying his very character to us tonight as well. This is the mind, this is the heart of the servant of Jehovah. And tonight we're particularly focusing on the humanness of our Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of Jehovah. For this was none other, we remember, than the one who is one with the Father. He is God, and yet he humbled himself and became man, so that Isaiah would say, so Matthew would say, this is the servant of Jehovah. He came, we read, to give his life a ransom for many. And it's those many that are pictured here in verse 20 for us. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench. And the picture here that is presented to us, I trust will be something you can relate to, something you can understand in your own spiritual journey as well. These were very common pictures that are being painted even at the time of Jesus. A reed, you might know, is a common water plant that would grow along the Valley Jordan there by the river. Some would reach the height of about 20 feet as they're growing in these areas where there are pools of water. Where everything else was dry and parched, there'd be little patches of green reeds as you drew near the river's edge. They're sucking their life and vitality from that moisture of the river. And sometimes they would even have these beautiful flowers at the top of these plants. But it was well known as well that if the wind would blow, there'd be times when these reeds would simply fall over or lean over. And the sun would return, they would raise up right again and be strengthened once more. But the picture here is of a bruised reed. There is this tender plant you can see in maybe we've seen something like that. There are these hollow little plants that are growing next to water, and they're hollow inside, and if they bend over, they're bruised. In order to really be healed again and to grow upright, they need someone to come along and lift them up and support them until the strength can be regained again. That's the picture here behind this bruising. This is the figure, the idea that's presented to us, a bruised reed. You remember, no doubt, in the Scriptures, reeds are often pictured as a symbol of weakness. I think of Egypt, which is often compared to a reed, a broken reed. And so when Israel would look to the nations around them for help and they would look back to Egypt, the Lord would say to them, don't you realize Egypt is a broken, a bruised reed? It's helpless to help you. That's the picture presented to us here. And it's a picture, really, we could say, of a weak believer. One who has come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's a new convert or someone even who's progressed along the way in his spiritual journey. There are bruised reeds. A person who when they look at themselves, they see helplessness. weakness. And who of us at one time, perhaps more than another, but in our spiritual life and journey, we haven't seen ourselves in this way? Especially initially, when the Lord opens our eyes, are we not found as bruised reeds? Those who aren't seeking after the Lord, those who haven't done anything for His glory, who weren't seeking Him, and He found us, and He didn't cast us away. These bruised reeds are presented for us here as a picture of weakness. The Lord came to us in those days with His law to convict us, to bruise us, as it were. And we were tossed to and fro, maybe for some time, of, will the Lord find mercy for me? Will He wash away my sin, which is great, which would cause me to be cast out of His presence? Will the Lord be gracious to me? And such weak, bruised reeds, whose spirits have been broken, they are contrite, repentant, humble before the Lord. They are weak and frail in themselves by the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their heart. Now, this can happen even after we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, can't it? We can come to faith in Christ and we know the Lord has forgiven our sin and we're marching on that road to victory in the Christian warfare. And then there comes along a temptation, a trial that seems too great for us, and we're turned, as it were, out of the way. We leave off prayer, maybe, or study of the Scriptures, and we begin to understand that we are nothing more and will never be nothing more than weak in ourselves. This is the picture here that is being presented to us. You know, when we have little conviction of this reality of being bruised and weakened, we have the littler need, the less need of the great Savior, the servant of Jehovah. But the more we know, the more we come to understand our own sin, our own weakness and helplessness, the more we need this one who is pictured for us in this passage, the servant of Jehovah. And there may be someone here who is listening tonight, either in our presence or through the radio ministry or in other places, who have come to recognize this weakness and have never yet relied wholly and only on the strength of Jesus Christ. And I would say to you, as you are convicted of this reality, that God's Word condemns you, His law condemns you. You're a bruised reed. You can't amount to any fruitful thing in yourself. He's calling you to look to the character of the One who is set before us in this passage, who can help you, who can save you, who can make you whole, who can heal you to the very core of your being and make you alive. Do you know, friends, of what it is in this picture before us of a bruised reed? Have you learned by experience in your heart, even after grace, there may be times in which you are barren, unfruitful, and you need the strength of the Lord God again. You need Him to speak salvation to your soul. Perhaps you hardly even dare to call yourself a reed tonight. You're lying there near the water's edge, as it were, and you know your life and strength is found in the water and the life of Jesus Christ. And you cannot deny the Lord has worked in your life. He saved you from sin, and yet there is a coldness that can sink in to the depths of your hearts and minds. And the world becomes so attractive and so important. And God, as we saw this morning, He can come along and He can bruise us so that we realize our weakness and our helplessness. And He will even use the bruising He designs to cause us to cry out to Him for mercy. But there's another picture here beside this bruised reed, and that's the smoldering wick or the smoking flax. A number of you are a bit older here, and you remember, as I do, when we used to have uncertain electricity in our homes, your parents probably had a kerosene lamp. And there's a wick that you would turn up when the lights went out, and you would light the wick, and you put the glass globe on it. Well, the picture here is similar to that. When you turn that wick down too far, and the light kind of goes out, and there's a smoke, smells, and a kind of a blackness that coats this glass bulb, there's no light any longer, there's no heat any longer that's coming forth from this smoldering wick. And this is the picture, the second picture that is being used for us in this passage to describe, yes, children of God and those who are weak. Maybe they've had some comfort in the gospel. They were glowing brightly at one point for the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe trouble and suffering and difficulty has come upon their path, and the wick had been turned down, and now there's only a glowing ember. Or maybe another picture, if you go camping, as I do sometimes, or in our backyard, we have a fire pit, and you throw in the logs, and there's a burning fire, and all the smoke and flame is rising up into the sky in a straight stream, and it's a beautiful picture. But after a while, pretty soon, it dies down, and all you have left is a smoldering bunch of logs and embers. And it needs someone to come along and to fan, as it were, that ember into life and into flame. And a picture here that is presented to us of a smoldering wick is someone who has known the Lord and is backslidden from Him. Their Christian graces are clouded. They can no longer see their way. They're uncertain. They may give the impression that all is fine, but in their heart of hearts, they know something isn't going well. They're like a smoldering wick. They don't give forth the light they once did. And this too is a picture of what we see here in this passage of a true believer for whom the servant of Jehovah comes. Are you one of these weak ones? Do you know this in your life at times when this can be your condition before the Lord and before others? You feel your weakness and your brokenness and your smoldering wick. This is the picture, the character that is presented to us in this prophecy. But it's not the only character. Because as we continue in our second thought, we see it's just not a bruised reed he sees in a smoldering flax. But each of them are connected with the work of this servant of Jehovah. The question for us tonight is not necessarily, are we this bruised reed? Yes, we need to ask ourselves that question, or the smoldering wick. But are we content to remain there, or are we looking for someone to do for us what we know we cannot do ourselves? And notice what it says. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. It's the very ones who are seeing in themselves their unworthiness and their unprofitability and their weakness that come to Him, or that He takes and He blows them back into a flame, that He comes and He holds them upright to strengthen them. He will not break them. They may feel in their hearts they are worthy to be broken, worthy to be extinguished. That's not what this servant of Jehovah does. Notice the context again of this passage. Jesus had come on the Sabbath day, and he had healed this man with the withered hand. And the Pharisees were standing there, those who were standing upright in their own estimation, who were burning bright flames in their own estimation. And what are they concerned about? How can you do this on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful? Was their question. And the servant of Jehovah, he says, which one of you having a sheep and it falls into a pit, you don't go out on the Sabbath day and lift it out? Here you see the heart of the servant of Jehovah. As the Pharisees are complaining about Jesus' actions in healing a lame man's hand, a withered hand, Jesus is demonstrating for us his very character, that Matthew, as he sees this all taking place, he sees the self-righteous Pharisees and he sees this broken, helpless man. And he goes, oh, Isaiah said, the servant, my servant whom I have chosen, behold, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased, I put my spirit on him. He will proclaim the words of the living God, and a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering flax he will not quench. You see, there's more implied here than just he's not going to break the bruised reed. There's more implied here than he's just not going to let that flame die out. The implication that's made here is a bruised reed. Not only he's not going to let it break, he's not only going to let it in that condition, but he's going to strengthen it. He's going to pour his grace upon it. He will speak to it. He will uphold it. He will strengthen it. The bruised reed he will not break. But his strength, he will come alongside that bruised reed and he will build it up. He will support it up until it begins to grow by his graces into a flourishing plant that even has a flower of his grace at its top. And he's not going to let that wick completely die away. But he will blow his spirit and fan its flames and give it the oil of his spirit so that it breaks forth with radiant light and abundant heat. Until we read, he brings justice to victory. And all of this for us Gentiles. And in his name, verse 21, the Gentiles shall trust. In his name they will hope, because they will see this servant who is sent of the Lord doing these very things, and trusting in this servant of Jehovah, he will do it also for them. He will grant you the grace and the strength you need to live to his glory. And they will trust in his name. They will renew their strength, as we read in Isaiah, as eagles, and under his wings you will trust. You see the tenderness of Jesus' character here pictured in these two illustrations? There's a bruised reed, and the servant of Jehovah, rather than just ignoring it or pushing it aside, looking to the other strong, seemingly reeds that are in themselves strong, he looks at this tender, bruised reed, and he comes beside it, and he lifts it up, and he treats it with compassion and love and care, and he speaks tenderly to this soul. You're burdened with your sin. You're burdened you can't live to my glory as I've called you to live. Look to me. I know you're weighed down. I know you're like a bruised reed. But I come with my grace. Look to me and I will strengthen you. I will grant you my salvation. And the smoldering flax, he doesn't come along and finally pinch it out so there's no more life. But he pours in his oil of his graces. And he turns up the wick, and it brings forth again flame in the heart to the service of their Lord. Friends, Jesus doesn't deal with us according to our sin. He doesn't reward us according to what we deserve. We've merited nothing. We deserve to be broken. We deserve to be quenched. And when you and I realize that more and more, the wonder of this reality becomes ever greater. The servant of the Lord doesn't break me. Rather, he strengthens me. The servant of the Lord doesn't quench me as I deserve, but he brings me forth into a bursting flame. He doesn't deal with us after our fears and our unbelief. We would have perished long ago. But he comes through his word and by his spirit, even through a message like this, and said, "This is my character. This is who I am. You can come to me in whatever condition you are in, and I will make you whole." To you who feel yourselves to be bruised reed, ready perhaps to give up hope or perish, assaulted by your own sinfulness and Satan and temptation, remember the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. God suffered his own son to be bruised, that he would be the servant of Jehovah to bring healing. God suffered the light and the ember, as it were, of his own son hanging on the tree to be put out. "Why hast thou forsaken me?" That he, this servant, can come to us and grant life and flame and living vitality. And what a wonder it should be to us that Jesus, the servant of Jehovah, takes the place of bruised reeds and smoking flax so that we may be healed and we may be made alive and strengthened through him. He uses his word and sacraments to accomplish this purpose. And therefore, he would call us to use the means of his word, to be in the scriptures studying his word, to be in prayer, to be in communion with one another, so that we would also hear the voice of the Son of God through these very means to accomplish this very purpose in our lives. If you would see this character of Jesus coming alive for us, be much in his word and read the scriptures. Be much in conversation together about the character and the very person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of Jehovah. Jesus is this servant of Jehovah who looks upon those imperfections, bruised reed and smoking flax. And because of his own work of righteousness, he's the servant who's accomplished a salvation that you and I can trust in, that you and I will no longer be broken or quenched, but we may find life in this servant of Jehovah who has given himself in our place. You know, we often look at our imperfections. We often see them perhaps clearly, bruised, smoldering, helpless, weak, insufficient. But if that's all we look at, we don't see the perfections and the beauty and the glory of Jesus Christ. And we mustn't always be judging ourselves by our present feelings. Rather, we ought to be understanding what the Word of God is saying about us and then fleeing to the servant of Jehovah, Jesus Christ, bowing in humility before the cross and receiving his words of comfort and cheer. If you know the Lord, you know he has taught you in some measure these truths. And therefore, you're called to live out of this truth more and more each day. We must be careful not to assume things. We mustn't assume that just because we go about our tasks from day to day and we are oppressed on every side, that Jesus isn't with us. We need the confidence we heard this morning that He is working. This servant of Jehovah is working out, even in our feelings of brokenness and smoldering, He's going to accomplish His purpose, because His promise, He will not break us. He will not quench us. Do you understand this truth? And do you rely on the servant of Jehovah alone? No one will be saved without this servant of Jehovah speaking peace and pardon, bringing back into life that smoldering flame and straightening that bruised reed so it stands erect to the glory of God. Christ alone is able to teach us this truth in our lives. And Christ, as prophet, priest, and king, accomplishes this very thing. That's how He accomplishes what the prophet Isaiah was speaking about. As the great prophet, He's going to teach us by His word that He will strengthen us and support us. We are taught by this word to love Christ and to hate sin. Is He your great prophet, the servant of Jehovah, that He takes this word and He shows you His character and causes your heart to be drawn to the Savior? The great teacher of our souls, the servant. But He's also a king. He rules over all the events of our lives so that even when we feel broken and we are bruised, even when we feel like we are going to be quenched, He is king. He's ruling over all the events of our lives and directing them for His purpose and His glory. He says, till He brings justice to victory. You watch the case in the last days and weeks of Nassar. You're wondering if justice perhaps was ever going to be served. The girls who came and gave all their testimonies perhaps lived their life until the point when it began to be in the open. Is justice ever coming? But it's coming. Even more so when we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may, in the eyes of the world, appear to be nothing more than weak Christians, weak believers, smoldering flax, bruised reeds. But our servant will uphold us and strengthen us throughout troubles and throughout trials so that we may, clinging to Him, live for His glory because we acknowledge Him as King until He send forth justice, judgment to victory. But He's also a priest. He's our great servant of Jehovah who's given Himself so that we might live. And He continues to make intercession for us as the great high priest at the right hand of God. And therefore, if you are a bruised reed tonight and you feel yourself in this way, this word comes to us with comfort and with the character of our Lord. You will not be broken. You will not be quenched. But judgment will come forth to victory when Jesus, upholding you, brings you through this trial to Himself in glory. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we thank Thee for this faithful promise and word. Lord, we know that we in ourselves are helpless and weak. But we also know that Thou art strong. Thou art the servant of Jehovah, the great prophet and priest and king who is able to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And so help us, Lord, to come before Thee knowing that we will not be cast out. and we may find all our needs met in the righteousness and life of this servant. We pray that thou would go with us in this week. In Jesus' name, amen.